Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 172, Smorgasbord, January 2021. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun, sharing food with our family and friends, all that good stuff. And wow, it's 2021. Listen, I know we all thought 2020 was a disaster and we couldn't wait to get to 2021. And if I'm being totally honest, I'm not sure I don't want to just rewind and go back to 2020 for a while. It's the 11th of January, 2021, as I record this. Strange days here in the United States anyway. I'm not going to get into all that. You all know what's going on. I've got opinions about all of it, but, you know, this is a home cooking podcast, not a politics podcast. So, anyway, look, it's January 2021. We have a whole bunch of content I'm planning out for this year. I want to talk a little bit about that today in today's Smorgasbord episode. A few other things too. Before we get into all that though, of course, I have to do the housekeeping. If you want to get a hold of me, the easiest way to do that is just to send an email directly to me to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also find me on Twitter at TKC Podcast. If you're on Facebook, you can head over to the Kitchen Counter Podcast Facebook page and send me a message. Or if you're interested in joining more of a community of like-minded home cooks, folks that like to share recipe images and ask questions and share tips and just talk about food in general, the Facebook group, The Kitchen Counter Coffee Break, is a great place to do that. I'll put links to all of this stuff in the show notes, by the way, for this episode, which will be kitchencounterpodcast.com/172. But if you are interested in checking out the group, the easy way to get there is just kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. And that will take you over to Facebook where you can ask to join. We've got quite a few people over there. No spam or anything like that. Just a pretty cool group of people. If you're into food, sharing recipes, pictures, all that kind of stuff, definitely want to check that out. Also, I've totally forgot to look it up. I was going to do an update on our fundraiser for the World Central Kitchen. I will, I'll have to look that up, log in and look that up and put maybe some information in the show notes on that. That just might be something I keep going indefinitely. I know I was sort of making an end of the year fundraiser for the Kitchen Counter Podcast, but I think it's a good cause. It's a good organization. So that might just be something I sort of keep going throughout the year. I'm not going to pester you about it throughout the year, but I'm just going to keep it open, I think, and just continue to fundraise for them, you know, when it makes sense. Yeah. So what are we doing here at the Kitchen Counter Podcast? Well, I thought I'd do a smorgasbord episode to kick the year off, talk about a few different things. One, I want to talk about to cook or not to cook for 2021. I want to talk about some of the cool cookbooks I got for Christmas. I know a lot of you from the Facebook group anyway got some cool new tools or gadgets or kitchen-related things and probably got cookbooks too. So I got three cookbooks I really have been getting a kick out of. I want to share a little bit about those today. I want to also talk about some new things I'm going to try with the show this year. Yeah, and you know, a few other things here and there. So we'll get into those. Again, if you're new to the show and you're not familiar with how I do what I call a smorgasbord episode, it's just sort of an episode with many different smaller segments or themes packed into one show. It's not one show that's based on one topic from beginning to end. We just sort of talk about lots of different kitchen, cooking, food-related things. So yeah, that's what we're going to do today. Again, show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/172. Well, you know, I started this podcast back in September 2014, just a little bit over 6 years ago, which is kind of crazy to think about when I put it like that. Anyway, my very first episode was called To Cook or Not to Cook, and I sort of set it up as, I guess, background on the podcast, what I wanted to do with it and all that kind of stuff. And probably just about every year since I've done that, I keep thinking, maybe I should redo my to cook or not to cook episode and sort of refresh it and update it and make it current. And I was going to do it last year and the year before, I remember. But every time I went to think about doing it, I was like, well, nothing's really changed from what I talked about back then. I mean, full disclosure, I did not go back. I haven't gone back ever, actually, and listened to that first episode. I hate going back and listening to my old episodes. Some of you will know that because I mentioned it before. But no, I haven't gone back and listened to it. I have looked at the show notes. I do know what I talked about. And boy, what awful show notes I had back then too. Which can I take a tangent real quick? Because this reminds me of something else. Sometime in December, I can't remember when, I was having some website issues. My WordPress installation got wonky on me. Website kind of went down, had some trouble with some recipe plugins, all sorts of things, which I've used different types over the years. Anyways, I'm trying to fix it. I kind of got it back up, but it doesn't look that great. And it's a little bit dated anyway. So I'm actually going to be working on, I think, redesigning my website, kitchencounterpodcast.com, and maybe going back to some of the old show note episodes and updating them, cleaning them up, maybe rewriting them. Like I'm looking at number one, to cook or not to cook. And it's basically just a bulleted list of things I talked about. It's just not that useful. It's useful to me because I can look at it now and I see the items that I talked about. But like if you hadn't listened to it or if you just went to this webpage, you'd be like, this is kind of a crappy blog post. So anyway, I'm going to be working on updating some of this stuff, but I digress. Anyway, I'm looking at what I talked about. I talked a little bit about what the show is going to be about, why I called it the Kitchen Counter Podcast, a little bit about myself, why you might want to listen to the show, reasons you might want to cook at home. Seems like I talked a lot about of stuff in this episode, barriers and roadblocks that could prevent you from cooking at home. Anyway, I'm looking at these items and I'm thinking, yeah, this is all the same today as it was back then. So I've never really gotten around to recording this episode. And I actually thought about doing it this year too, but for all the reasons I just stated, I haven't. But I thought maybe I should talk a little bit about this because I think if ever in the last 6 years anything has changed, last year, there has been sort of a change when it comes to home cooking, right? I don't think anything I mentioned in that very first episode way back in September of 2014 has changed reasons why you should home cook and things like that. But of course, something monumental happened last year in 2020. Actually, we're still neck deep in the middle of it. But the coronavirus pandemic, right? The COVID outbreak. And that probably more than anything, in my memory, at least in my adult cooking, memory, that more than anything has been an event that I think has changed the way people have approached home cooking and getting in their kitchen and fending for themselves and providing for cooking for themselves and their family. But it's been sort of a weird thing too. But, you know, so what? In general, coronavirus, this whole pandemic thing has sort of tuned us in a little bit more with cooking at home. When this first came out and people were freaking out and hoarding toilet paper and buying, food from the grocery store, there were whole sections of the grocery store, right, that were completely wiped out, that you couldn't even get food, let alone toilet paper. The frozen food section was wiped out. The meat section was wiped out. The baking aisle was totally ravaged, right? So in a way, this pandemic has forced people to approach home cooking a little bit differently, or maybe get more serious about it, or do more of it, or try it if they've never done it before. And of course, I mentioned bread baking. That was huge last year. It probably still is, but everybody, it seemed, was making sourdough starter and, making bread at home. And as any of you know, if you tried to find flour or yeast at some point in the last 12 months, there was a periods of time when that was impossible to find, which is funny because it's a pandemic. People are freaking out. So they're learning to bake bread at home when, to my knowledge, the bread aisles never really went empty, really, for any period of time. So it's kind of funny that people were at home cooking or baking bread to sort of overcome the pandemic and a food shortage, I guess. But maybe they really didn't even need to do that. But anyway, and then I think another thing that was interesting since the pandemic started when it comes to home cooking is the idea of food media. I've talked many times on this podcast about places like the Food Network or these slick food magazines and food blogs, and how, you know, it's they don't necessarily portray a realistic, normal person's day-to-day reality when it comes to cooking for their family or for themselves at home, right? They're made to look good and be appealing, right? Nobody wants to watch a Food Network show that's takes place in a dirty kitchen and, you know, they're making mac and cheese out of a box, right? But I thought what was interesting this year is with most people forced to stay home, a lot of the food media had to adapt to that. And, you know, we were seeing shows on the Cooking Channel and Food Network and, you know, Netflix or whatever. And these celebrity chefs or whoever the food personalities were at home cooking and their families were involved. And my gosh, I remember, I think, was it Ina Garten, you know, like she opened her fridge in an episode and it was a mess. And people were like, oh, it's amazing. You know, her fridge is a mess just like mine. Well, it's like, yeah, of course it is. Everybody's fridge is a mess. That's what normal people's fridges are, not these stylized Food Network studio kitchens, right? So that was an interesting thing, too, about this year when it comes to home cooking is sort of this almost permission or explicit permission from the food media world that, hey, you don't have to be fancy when you cook at home. You don't have to cook everything from scratch and use only the freshest ingredients. Use what you have on hand. Use what's available to you. It's like, yeah, of course, that you should always do that. And it was just funny to me, that different perspective of food media. And it's like how everybody almost approached it like an epiphany. So now I'm just rambling on about this to cook or not to cook stuff. Nothing's changed. You should cook if that's what you want to do. You should embrace cooking for whatever reason you want to embrace cooking, whether it's a survival thing or you have to cook for your family. You have to put 3 square meals on the table a day, 7 days a week. Whether it's a hobby for you, you like to experiment with recipes and make new dishes, or anywhere in between, there's no wrong reason, obviously, to get in the kitchen and cook. So I don't really know where I'm going with this to cook or not to cook in 2021, but I did want to at least address a little bit of the different environment that was sort of handed to us or forced upon us by this global pandemic in 2021 and in 2020, and then, of course, in 2021 for the foreseeable future. So anyway, to cook or not to cook, I'm not going to do a whole episode on it, but I just wanted to take a few minutes here to talk about it. I think it would be interesting to hear from you. If you have a story about how your cooking has changed over the last 12 months, I would love to hear that in regards to the pandemic specifically or whatever other food trends in 2020 that came along that you had to adapt to. So if you have a story, if you want to share it, send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I would love to hear from you. All right. I don't know what else to say about that. So to cook or not to cook 2021, there you go. Yes, you should cook. You should cook. All right, let's move on. I'm sorry, my office chair, for whatever reason, is really creaky these days. So when I'm recording, I feel like I have to sit perfectly still. If I move, you can hear my office chair creaking. So if you hear the creaking and it's annoying you, I totally apologize, but I don't really know how to fix it. Okay, moving on. I wanted to talk a little bit about some new cookbooks that I got for Christmas because there were a couple I asked for, I got, and then I had an interesting surprise one I got, which I want to talk about. This year, I didn't get any real kitchen gadgets or kitchen appliances or pans or anything like that. But I did get some cookbooks, so it's time to share. And I'll put links to these in the show notes as well. So if any of them sound interesting to you, you can check them out there. I don't know about you, but I'm a total cookbook nut. I love cookbooks. I have more cookbooks on my shelf than recipes I'll ever cook out of them. But there's something about reading a cookbook, especially when it has background or stories or just more than obviously just recipes and pictures. They're just really interesting to look at. And I think I have a lot of old historical cookbooks too. I just think they make fascinating time capsules when you go back and look at cookbooks and just see what the attitudes were 50 years, 100 years ago in the kitchen. But first cookbook I got, I'm really excited about. It's by a brothers named Craig and Sean I think it's Macanuff, M-C-A-N-U-F-F, not exactly sure how to pronounce it, but the cookbook is Original Flava, Caribbean Recipes from Home. So Craig and Sean are Brits, but their family is from Jamaica. So this whole cookbook is about them basically going back to Jamaica and embracing the Caribbean food that their grandparents made and learning how to make traditional dishes, putting modern spins on them. And there is a lot of really good looking food in this cookbook. I'm really excited just to work through this. I love Caribbean cooking. It's probably one of my favorite cuisines in the world. A lot of seafood, a lot of flavor and spice, usually a lot of heat with the cooking, but just some of the stuff in here. The pictures are great, but you know, chicken and pumpkin soup, curry chicken, stew chicken. Let's see what else we got. A lot of vegan and vegetarian dishes in this cookbook as well. So a plantain bean burger, stewed peas, plantain and chickpea curry, jerk chicken, of course. They have a whole section on jerk and the history behind that and the spices. Crustless callaloo quiche. Fun book. A lot of really good stories from Jamaica and stories around the background of the food that their family has made for generations that they're sort of reimagining and rediscovering. So Original Flava, Caribbean Recipes from Home. That's excellent. I can't wait to work through that. I haven't made anything out of it yet, but soon. All right, the second cookbook I got, also very excited about this one, is the new one from Marcus Samuelson, and the book is called The Rise, Black Cooks and the Soul of American Food. If you didn't know it, Marcus Samuelson, he's, you could say, a celebrity chef. He's been on all the Food Network shows and stuff. He's Ethiopian. He was adopted by a family in Sweden. He grew up there, became a chef in Europe before moving to the United States. But in this book, what Samuelson does is, he approaches it with this in mind. I'm just going to read something out of the first section here, where he talks about black food. So he says, quote, "Black food is not monolithic. It's complex, diverse, and delicious, stemming from shared experiences as well as incredible individual creativity. Black food is American food, and it's long past time that the artistry and ingenuity of black cooks were properly recognized. The Rise is part of that conversation, and this book is my perspective on what's so exciting about the culture we share." So throughout the book, he highlights and talks about different black cooks and black chefs from around the country. He gives a little bit of information about their background and sort of their food culture and how they approach cooking. And then he comes up with recipes in honor of those chefs. And there are some really fantastic looking dishes in this. And, you know, he's amazing chef, of course. But so we've got Haitian black rice and mushrooms, spice roasted black cod and carrots with benisseed dressing, chicken and shrimp tamarind broth with rice noodles, crab curry with yam and mustard greens, Papa Ed's shrimp and grits. It makes my mouth water. I love the concept behind this cookbook. Love Marcus Samuelson. And I've read a few of them, and I'm really excited to get through this book too and just learn about these amazing chefs and their food culture, their food perspectives, and their perspectives on black food in America. So this is another one I'm really, really excited about. Super excited I got this. I'll put the links to that in the show notes as well. Now, the third book I got was a total surprise. I have seen it online, and I thought it looked interesting. And my sister-in-law and her husband got this for me for Christmas. Now, full disclosure, I'm going to say this right up front. I'm a nerd, and I like nerdy things. So when I explain this cookbook, some of you might be like, that sounds really cool. And some of you might say, like, that sounds weird. But I'm a nerd, and I love games and board games and video games and movies and sci-fi and all that stuff. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing that up is this book is Heroes Feast, the official Dungeons & Dragons cookbook. Now, I know a lot of properties, like science fiction and fantasy properties, are getting into the cookbook game. I'm pretty sure I've seen a Harry Potter cookbook Game of Thrones, that sort of stuff. Lord of the Rings, if you're into Lord of the Rings, this cookbook would be right up your alley. But this is a really cool book, and it's legit recipes. I've made a couple things out of here. They are legit recipes. So it's not just a gimmick. But it's all recipes based out of, you know, fictional fantasy worlds of the Dungeons and Dragons universe, I guess is the right term. Anyway, so if you're into things like Harry Potter or Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings, this is kind of where you're at. But, you know, you have things that are fairly traditional sounding, like dark molasses nut bread, Castle Amber onion soup, wood elf forest salad. I made basically a miner's pie, which is basically a shepherd's pie out of here. It was fantastic, actually. So it's fun because they take a lot of the lore and the fictional settings and interweave it throughout the book. So if you've got a gamer in your family, or they're into the fantasy novels or movies or whatever, this would be a really cool cookbook. It's just very well done. I was really surprised when I started looking through this and making a couple things out of here, like how high quality this cookbook actually is. So Heroes Feast, the official D&D cookbook by Kyle Newman, John Peterson, and Michael Whitwer. So a lot of fun. Glad I got that one too. There were several cookbooks on my list that I didn't get, so I'm going to have to supplement my collection over the coming months. And actually, I'm planning to do some cookbook reviews on some new cookbooks that are going to be coming out over the next 6 months or so. So yeah, looking forward to doing a little more with cookbooks on the show. But I just wanted to share those three cookbooks I got for Christmas. I'll put links to those in the show notes. You know, one of these days, I'm going to grab some of these old cookbooks, historical cookbooks I have on my shelf. And I say historical, but they're probably not as historical, it's just they are vintage or retro. Anyway, I'm going to grab some of those and we're going to do a whole episode, I think, on old vintage cookbooks. I think it could be a lot of fun. Okay, 2021 for the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I'm going to try something a little different this year. And I know I probably say this at the beginning of every year, but you know, you guys humor me pretty well when I say something and then reality doesn't often match how it turns out. But I think what I want to do this year to help plan out long-term episode topics and things like that, I'm putting together an editorial calendar, right? Where I'm trying to do 2 episodes a month, which is typically what I average in any other year, give or take an episode or two. And I'm trying to do an editorial calendar, right, where I can plan out what I'm going to talk about well ahead of time. But it's hard to do when I have a show where the topic is just home cooking. And that's such a huge topic. And I could talk about literally anything. I could do any format. I could talk to anybody. And I don't want to narrow myself down too much because I do, for myself, you may not like it as much, but for myself, I do kind of like the freewheeling, open-ended way that I run my show. But I do want a little more structure. So what I think I'm going to do, I'm going to do 2 shows a month, right? So every first show of the month is going to be sort of a smorgasbord type episode where I'll have different segments where I talk about recipes, or maybe I bring somebody on for an interview, or I do some general cooking tips or kitchen tool or gadget reviews, things like that. It could be any of those things and a combination of them on any given smorgasbord episode. And then for the other episode every month, what I wanted to do, and I kind of thought of this because we've all been sort of stuck home with the whole pandemic, right? And we haven't really been able to go anywhere. So what I want to do is take a region of the world or the United States, perhaps, and a iconic recipe or an iconic dish from that region and build an episode around that so we can talk about the history of the dish a little bit, some of the unique techniques or ingredients or flavors that go along with that dish, and then of course share a recipe or several on how to make variations of that dish. But I've already got sort of a not rock solid concrete plan of all the places and dishes I want to do, but I have put together a tentative plan for that. So I'm really excited about this for next episode, and some of these will be very simple dishes. Some will be more complex dishes. Some will be more well-known. Some might be a little bit more obscure. But I'm excited about doing something like this because I think it'll help. It's not really a theme per se, as far as the places and the dishes, but it'll just be a fun way for us to maybe do a little virtual traveling on the show when we're all stuck at home more or less during this pandemic. So next episode, which I'm going to try to get out on January 26th, we are going to be going to the Middle East, and I'm not sure I'm going to give up what the dish is going to be. Maybe I'll save that for a surprise. But the first stop globally is we're going to drop into the Middle East and talk about a very iconic dish. But so we're going to be doing just this traveling around the world, so to speak, and sampling and talking about some various dishes and techniques and flavors from these regions that go along with some iconic dishes. As always, though, if you have a topic you want me to cover on a smorgasbord episode, again, feedback at kitchencounterpodcast.com or pop over to one of the social media, Twitter, Facebook, and send me a note. And if you have questions or things like that, we can work on getting those on an upcoming episode. Okay, one more thing I want to talk about, and this isn't exactly home cooking related, but I do want to give a shout out to a listener of the podcast named Trinity. And Trinity has actually sent me questions before that I've covered on the show. But Trinity is a younger home cook, and she was inspired to start her own podcast. And I just wanted to give a shout out to that because I was she wrote me for some input and advice, and I was happy to help her. And I want you to go check out her podcast, especially if you have kids in the house, because Trinity's podcast is called Gumdrop Readers, and she reads kids' books and kids' stories to kids. So if you have kids that like to listen to stories, Trinity's got a ton of them. I mean, I don't know how many episodes she has already, but she has like 40 episodes or something like that already in their story. So you know what? If you have kids, and I would say these are like, she says kids ages 1 to 12. So that's your age range there. So check it out, Gumdrop Readers. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Head over there, have a listen, leave a rating, a review. I'm sure Trinity would love that. So I love it when I hear about cool things that folks in our nice little community are doing. So if you have other things you guys want to tell me about, if you want me to mention on the show, why don't you shoot me a note and I'll see what I can do. So Trinity, keep up the good work. Love your podcast. Hopefully we'll get some more people over there checking that out. Hey, everybody. Well, that's going to do it for me for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. For this smorgasbord episode, remember, next episode, January 26th, we're going to be heading to the Middle East, and we're going to be talking about a very iconic dish from that region of the world. So come back, check that out. If you're getting any value out of the show, you like the show, you think your family might as well, as they're stuck at home during the pandemic, or maybe they're driving a truck, or they're doing yard work, or whatever it is, and they just need something to occupy their brain and put in their ears, you think the show might be a value to them, definitely show them how to find it, share it with them. And you know what? There's millions of other awesome podcasts out there that they could be listening to as well. All right, everybody. Welcome to 2021. It's going to get better. I know it will. Everybody hang in there. Stay healthy. And until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.